Sundays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The FAA says 80 people were aboard Delta Connection Flight 4819 from Minneapolis when it landed, then flipped over at Toronto's Lester Pearson International Airport. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
It does look like the cabin of the airplane, the passenger area of the plane, remained intact fully when whatever went wrong. And it went wrong with enough force, it appears, to have ripped the wings and the tail off the airplane.
Medical officials say 15 people have been hurt, including two adults and a child in critical condition. Weather, possibly a factor.
The Toronto Pearson Airport had gotten a significant amount of snow over the last week. In fact, over the weekend, they were working quite hard to clear. It had been about 7 inches of snow going into yesterday. So weather conditions there will be something that will certainly be looked at here.
All passengers and crew have been accounted for. 15 people hospitalized again. A child and two adults are in critical condition, but no fatalities. CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Northeast Wisconsin representative is supporting legislation that will allow clerks and election officials to process absentee ballots the day before the election. Lisa Hale has more.
Ahmad Rivera Wagner of Green Bay said the bill attempts to make things easier and faster on Election Day.
I am very hopeful that there is bipartisan support for clerks to process absentee ballots, process, not count them early, which will take hours off of central count processes, allowing us to have early nights on Election Day versus them being late in the morning because of the amount of both Republicans and Democrats voting absentee ballot now.
Rivera Wagner said it can take over 4 hours just to open envelopes containing absentee ballots, which leads to long nights and late returns.
Tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Here's Brittany Merlot.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
There will be a listening session on Friday in Wisconsin Rapids with local representatives. Senator Patrick Teston and Representative Scott Krug will be at McMillan Library on February 21st from noon to 1. At 2 p.m., Representative Krug will be at the Rome Town Hall. The following Friday, he will be in Adams and Nisida. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers face the Fighting Illini. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers host Illinois tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. Game time 7:30. Wisconsin coming off that big win at number 7th ranked Purdue, 94-84 over the weekend. Marquette will be at home tomorrow night when they host Seton Hall. NBA, the Bucks return to action Thursday night when they take on the Clippers in Milwaukee. The Badgers men's hockey team in a slump. They lost to number 8th ranked Ohio State in Columbus, 4-2. Wisconsin has now lost 6 in a row. Associate head coach Todd Knott asked why the team hasn't been able to score more than 2 goals a game so far this month.
I wish I had a better answer for you on that one. I don't. And disappointing, especially with us getting good crowd showing up right now. I know our guys are extremely disappointed in the results over the weekend, but when you talk about Ohio State, Penn State, and they had some snarl to them, so give them credit. I thought they played very well.
That's Badgers hockey coach Todd Knott with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and brutally cold, with high temperatures today trying to reach the single digits and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. And by tonight, it's going to be feeling about 30 below. And the frigid cold continues to have a grip on us through tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 1 degree.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Luke Mathers will be here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll preview Governor Evers' budget address. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, February 17th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Got the Silver Foxes in studio. Looking forward to that. Right now, I want to send a big shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them. Do yourself a favor. Go to your search bar on YouTube, type that into your search bar, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to the great work that they're doing. And they're here today because we got Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacharin with us, a Monday edition of the show. This is a little different for us here. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah, good. Thank you for having me. Thanks for being flexible to get me in since I got a busy week coming up here. So
we will work around that. The day job comes first, sir. Yeah. We just appreciate the time as always. Got a couple of topics that we want to dive into today. And first up, I wanted to talk about some new business that's going to be coming to town. We have a new tech business that is looking to come into town and take up some space here.
Yep. First of all, we're very excited that they are coming into town. Certainly sets a precedence, puts us on the board for other companies around the world that are looking for space, also looking for power and other parts of industries that are there. There's water purification center that's there, and it's going to be continue to be there as the craft mill comes down. Wastewater treatment center, you know, it's really developed in that whole area as a industrial park. Some clarification points on the database center coming in. It's not on any of the land that is part of the mill at this point in time. That was 5 acres that will be leased from QEBCO, Consolidated Water and Power Company. So it's something that I was a part of the original conversation in the beginning to introduce them to each other, and from there they kind of took it on a private level, seeing how QEBCO is privately owned by Billerud still. So they were able to hash things out and kind of come back to us. So at the point that it came back and was released to the community was about the same time that we knew that they were coming to this agreement together. So we're excited about it. It's got its upsides and downsides. You know, after it's built, there'll be a lot of money, $200 million being put into building it. That's infrastructure, the people that'll be in town, you know, that'll help out the economy during that time and how long it takes to build it. And then outside of that, when it's up and running, I don't know exactly, but it's somewhere in the ballpark of 20 employees to actually run it on a day-to-day basis. But those folks will be living in town if they're not here already. Good paying jobs. Again, that helps our economy out. It also makes QEBCO strong, who has a good amount of employees in the local community. So they're stronger knowing they have more customers that are coming in and plugging into their system so that they have more money to go around, make sure the dams are solvent. And those dams provide 30% of that power. So that helps the database companies and people that are like that know that they're using some more alternative renewable energy resources than just the open market. But 70% of that electricity, according to what I understand from QEBCO, comes from outside sources, is bought on the open market and brought in to service those communities. Those businesses. So we look forward to bringing that in and building that infrastructure back up to the point where at some point they may have to look at investing more money into building it bigger. So these are all upsides to it. And we just have to be excited about the opportunities that are presented to us. I don't know the details as to what the database center actually supports in the broad picture of the internet But I do know that whenever I ask Siri a question, she answers me pretty quick within a few seconds. And that is because these databases are being built and can handle this much information that fast. So we like our technology, and this is part of what helps us do that.
This is the modern paper mill. This is the modern kind of thing that we're going to be seeing more and more, and around our country, around the world, is things like this.
It's and a new era. Yep.
Rural communities that can take advantage of this and offer some land. And when we have something that is a win for our economy as well as our environment, that seems like a pretty cool thing right there. That's all right. That seems like a good one. I do want to note something else real quick, and this isn't just coming from me, but many in the community, including my own parents, about this. You talked about in your campaign leading up to this, one of the main things you wanted to do was bring in new businesses, bring in new life to our economy and some of that. Yep. You've been doing what you said you were going to do, sir. We're not used to that in politics. I say that with a little bit of jokingly, but I also say it in the modern times. Like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you said something and you're doing what you said. That really does mean something nowadays. And we're actually seeing it.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate when the people, you know, say congratulations and, you know, good job and all that. But in the reality is, in that campaign, I always understood that going into this position, it's not that I am the one who can, you know, wave my magic wand and bring this stuff in, but my goal was always to say, I know enough to be able to build the bridges, make the introductions, let these businesses know that we are open to them coming here, and be as welcoming as possible, and try to, if they're going to talk about incentives and we have to go that route, then we'll have that conversation. But ultimately, it's my job to make sure we stay out of the way as much as possible so that they can take care of business. And then when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of getting what the city wants so everybody's safe, then that's, you know, where we have to step in. But again, building the trust in those relationships allows them to be more comfortable dealing with us and knowing that there are going to be, you know, the regulations that everybody has to deal with. But they're more apt to do that in a better light when we present ourselves in that fashion. So
every community is looking to bring in new people, whether we're talking about a major metropolitan city or we're talking about a city like our size. Yeah. And part of how you do that is being attractive to businesses, to your community, the way they respond. It was many decades ago that my papa, he drove semi for Spectre for 50 years.
Okay.
And he would go from Chicago up to Canada all the time. And he traveled through Wisconsin. He traveled through Rome, Wisconsin a lot. And eventually was like, I really like it here. And I like this business Pretzels over here. And I like some of these other spots.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm going to retire here.
Yeah.
It was just my nan and papa that did. And then my knucklehead self came up here and my sister and all that. And before you know it, you got a bunch of mail-offs in this area.
Yeah.
And now this is kind of where my family story starts now, where my brother, all my kids, their kids, they're all born in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The economies that my family has created in this state are not that significant, but there's something, especially when you add it on to other people that have a very similar story to my family's.
Yeah.
This is how cities are built. This is how cities survive, is by being attracted to other people, whether it's a business or community members.
Yeah.
But nothing sells a community like its people.
No, absolutely.
And I know that's not lost on you at all, sir. And I want the audience to remember that as well, with how we treat each other and how we are with people coming into our town and stuff. Well,
take it a step further, too. And again, I never want to harp on the social media, because I was thinking about it the other day, like, that was that Spider-Man saying, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Well, we have this internet that's got so much power.
Yeah.
And I think at some point in time, we'll be able to utilize. It's not that I don't want people to express themselves. I think that that's great. I just don't necessarily know if people realize how the negativity that they bring forward does no good. It doesn't do any good for anybody. So the responsibility is saying, use our free speech wisely and use it to benefit, like to progress into the future. And as to your point, I'm so happy that you and your family or your ancestors, you know, saw this place and moved here. You know, me and Jenny grew up here, and I saw this place and I said I would be willing to raise our family there. And so we moved up here and made a go of it. Now for my kids, this is their life. Some want to stay, some want to go to school, come back. Who knows, you know, what'll happen. But ultimately, I see people all the time that are moving in here, whether it's, you know, so what if it is retirement? hard for me to imagine now that I'm, 54, yeah. I'm looking at this whole retirement thing, but you're still young. You still have money. You still have, ideas and opportunities, but the other people that are bringing in their young families and all this growth that's happening, we are not dying. Like people, it's hard to reach out to the people who are saying we're a dying community. And I'm just saying to you, no, we're not dying. Like we are going through a transition. And I know that we're all sad that the industry that was here for so long is gone, but it's gone throughout the whole world for the most part. So we have to move forward. And if you say we're dying, then in your mind and what you're doing for your community is helping it die in that sense. But yes. On the other hand, there's all these other people that are helping it grow and seeing the big picture. And honestly, those are the people that I want to focus on. Those are the people I want to talk to, because I think you kind of take on that personality of those people that you hang out with. I think that's always been a given, right?
Absolutely.
So I would encourage everybody who's angry about the past to figure out how to look to the future and see, like, if your decision is to be angry about what isn't here and what's not, I would encourage you as a businessman and investor on that side of things, save your money up, stop drinking, stop smoking, stop doing drugs, stop mm-hmm. wasting your money on whatever you're wasting it on. Save up $1,000 a year, do whatever it takes and invest that in your future and your children's future, and start looking at the big picture in the future versus what was and what's never going to come back.
I think it's important to have perspective, and that's one of the best friends you'll have the older you get, is perspective. And when you look at our community compared to some that we're right next to or near or is maybe 20 minutes away from us, and how they're doing compared to how we are, having that perspective is really intent. I think we stand out quite a bit in this area when Agreed. It comes to that. And I think another part of this that is really key to it too is I like you, especially in this position, I hear from a lot of the community, I hear a lot, and I don't mind good, bad. I look at all as data. I don't look at it as good or bad information. I'm like, this is how you feel. Thank you for that data. What I have an issue with is, and under any circumstance, no matter what the topic, sports, politics, doesn't matter what we're talking about, are you just a dog barking, or are you trying to be heard? Do you have solutions? What are you doing to fix this? Anybody can point out a problem, but what are you doing to fix it? Right. What are you doing? What are you bringing to the table with ideas? What kind of take that same energy and harness it and use it to do some good in this community, or at least have some answers, some solutions to what you're saying? Because otherwise, you're just a dog barking. That's mm-hmm. all you are. Do you actually want to get something done, or do you just want to get this off your chest? And if you just want to get it off your chest, that's fine. But that's why we have friends. That's why we have, significant others and everything. You don't need to take it to social media. Not everything you think needs to be published.
Yeah.
And I think keeping that in mind, especially with where we're going next with the conversation, the next couple of things I wanted to talk about, there is a discussion, a referral from an older person, an ordinance banning the addition of fluoride to the city water supply. And the motion was brought on by a couple of different people. I wanted to bring up this one with you.
Yeah, this came on actually really fast, although I know it's been a conversation for a long time. And it's really, this has been in our water to one degree or another for almost 100 years. I mean, it's got it's a longstanding thing. I think, again, it's really tough for me to even necessarily talk about it because, there's a very strong possibility it could be a split vote, tie vote, which means then I have to speak up and make a decision one way or the other, which again is always not as fun as it looks, just because, you got four people that you're going to make angry one way or the other. But I encourage everybody to say, look, this is a vote. Don't take it personal. We all have to make our decisions and move forward. We're all doing the best that we can based on who we are as our from our upbringing and where we are now. So don't take it too personal. But ultimately, when it comes to the fluoride, we do know that it does protect our teeth. Like, we know that, and we know that it's been in the water for a long time. What we don't know, and I don't even know how to begin to understand, how would you gauge, I've spent a lot of time trying to think this through, how you would gauge loss of IQ, like how does that play in and understand that? And if it is really happening, then we, of course, that's a whole different conversation. What I haven't seen yet is proven fact, at least to my desired level, that says, yes, this for sure is causing brain damage. So right now it's a tough call. It's been here a long time. I think the council a lot of times has to understand that this is a conversation. We don't have to make a decision absolutely right now. We could say, well, let's bring it back next month. Let's get more information. Let's continue the conversation because this is a really, really important decision to be made.
I was raised to question everything, and I do. And I believe in that, and I encourage others to do that. And once I do that and I get my answers, I move on. The earth is round. I found that out at a young age, and I'm like, okay, I know that. The earth is round. I'm good. Science has proven that. We can move on to other subjects. If we had no problems in life, I would be fine with us dissecting this. But the fact that we are spending our topic and spending time that we don't have a lot of on this, and our other people are out there, if it wasn't, if the man's last name was not Kennedy, if it was Smith, nobody would be talking about this. This is something that you just said. Over 100 years, this has been in our water. Science has proven over and over and over and over and over again, this is healthy for us. This is okay for us. I trust science. I trust our government. I think that if this was an issue, we would have been tackling it a long time ago. It wouldn't have taken somebody who does not know what they're talking about, did not go to school for this, has done nothing but read a bunch of online articles online about it, and we wouldn't be at this point. Like we've already spent more time in this than we need to. We got bigger fish to fry. We got big topics to be dealing with in society, let alone in our town here. And yet we're spending time on this topic because of a bunch of people that didn't even read any homework on this, didn't even read any articles. They're just listening to other people that didn't read any articles. Read up on this one. Read your science on this. And again, we got other things that we could be talking about and we need to be putting our focus on that really need our attention in this country right now.
I'm going to throw a caveat in there too. Like, this is something I learned just recently. Maybe I understood this in the back of my head, but never in the front. In the sense that our phones are very personal, right? It locks off to either our face or digits or whatever, and you got to, you know, get into it. You don't spend a whole lot of time looking at somebody else's phone, pretty much never. So anyways, I understood there was this algorithm or whatever you want to call it behind the computer system that was showing me stuff that I wanted to see and whether they were picking it up. And I think, again, we all know this. My ongoing joke was when people would say that, all of a sudden something which, you know, I'd say snowmobiles and something would show up on my phone about snowmobiles. And I jokingly said, oh, I thought that was God answering all my prayers, you know. But the funny thing about it is I did look over it. You know, my wife was listening to something, looking at something, and it caught my attention. I'm like, oh, that's something that I would really kind of want to know, whether it's talking about, you know, relationships at certain age and all the stuff you're going through. And I come to realize as we're looking at it, like, I really should be seeing the stuff that she's getting sent to her phone, and she should be seeing the stuff sent to my phone to help understand the other side better. But a lot of times they're just sending you what they think or it thinks that you want to read about. So my point to say all this is be very careful, because what you're getting when you say, hey, Siri, or whatever it is, what they're sending you is things that they think they want you to know. And it's going to be very inclusive to what is, or very specific to that. So be careful with it, because you're getting fed specific information that sways you one way or the other.
Well said. Speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher right now, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, another discussion that's going up is a referral about the idea of increasing the terms of an alder person and the mayor from 2 years to 4 years. This was another one that's been brought up recently.
Yeah, I think, again, this was brought up kind of quick, so it doesn't have to be voted on. Again, I think the council jumps the gun a lot where we don't even have enough information to know what we really need to know to make the best decision possible. So I'm always more and more now I'm going to encourage to say, hey, let's just take another month and read up on it. I think in specific, or to this one specifically, you know, I could say from my side of it, 2 years is a little tricky, but I'm kind of rare when I come into this because I'm not in retirement age, whereas a lot of times we have mayors that are more into that retirement where, you know, whereas for me, I still have things I want to accomplish. So when I try to plan out 2 years in advance, it seems a little bit tricky. Not to mention, if I do have specific plans for the city to try to work with, it's tough to try to accomplish those in 2 years and then have to go through re-election and, you know, all that time. So I get the fact that 2 years isn't a lot in the big picture. But the other side of the argument is, if for some reason we don't have an option and we vote in somebody that we really, really don't want there, then they're going to be able to do, let's just say, a lot less damage in 2 years than they would do in 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I see that side of it too. And in reality, you know, if it stays 2 years, I'm totally fine. Like, I'll do it in 2 year segments, and I'll, you know, I will cease being mayor when the time is right, and kind of go forward from there. And it seemed like the aldermen for the alderman positions, 2 years was still good. As somebody had thrown around the 1 year, and I'm like, but then you're just spending more time trying to get reelected than you are actually doing the job of the residents, citizens. So I think it's fine. If they choose to change it, I am saying ahead of time that I think it should be put on hold until I'm done with my entire mayorship, not just this term.
Yeah.
And that way it's not perceived as Zacher trying to do something nefarious in order to get something done there. So I understand that side too, but at the same time, I don't control their vote. So we'll see how things.
That was kind of my one follow-up to that, and you kind of answered that one. So I think that that's interesting. That adds another interesting element to that. And in kind of wrapping up ordinances, certainly bringing up the ATV-UTV ordinance that we have in roundabout talking about, and everybody's talking about.
Yeah, and this is a long one, so I don't know. You know, I don't want to spend too much time on it. And it's really, I never knew that this is a hill I was going to climb, because it started when I got into the aldermanic position. So, and I won't take you through the whole history of it, but at this point in time, the folks that wanted it sent it to referendum. They thought that everybody in the community wanted it. What they found out was that everybody doesn't want it. And there was a pretty significant margin to say, we don't want these in here. And it's not because the amount of phone calls and emails that came since then. And thank you to everybody for, especially that silent majority that really woke up when it came to this. And I realized through this event that silent majority speaks really through the people that they vote for. Mm-hmm. And they expect you to be able to understand that and not be swayed specifically by the small minority groups, the loud minority that want specific things, and be able to hold your ground, which again, I respect. But you also at the same time, if I can explain this real quick, what I didn't fully understand this, and I'm going to use this example first before I relate it to the referendum, but Let's say the aldermen voted to pass a an ordinance for UTVs. If they vote to pass this, they create something. They create an ordinance that now says you can drive UTVs on the road. Now, me as mayor, I could actually veto that, and then they would have to re-vote, and it'd have to pass by 2/3. But if they don't vote to create that ordinance, and there's nothing created, the mayor cannot veto the non-action and create something on unilaterally on his own. Yep. So the same thing that happened with this is why I say this. So the same thing happened with the referendum. Instead of the aldermen voting, the people are voting.
Right.
So if the people voted to create an ordinance through this referendum that said UTVs are allowed on the roads, then they could, because something was created, it could have been bound for 2 years. That was part of this whole referendum.
Right,
so for 2 years, we wouldn't have been able to talk about it.
Hmm.
But because the residents, the citizens voted it down, they didn't create anything. Nothing was created. It was a non-action.
Huh.
So therefore, there's nothing that can bind it for 2 years or a year or anything.
Hmm.
And I think that's what got people really frustrated. Now, that's the legal way of doing it. But there's still the moral ethical way of saying, and I think everybody understands this now, because the people that are in favor of it wanted to go ahead and push it anyways and kind of see if they could get it passed.
Yeah.
And the uproar that came from that kind of put everybody on their heels and said, okay. But just so everybody knows, that was the reason they could. They didn't do anything illegal. They can bring it up the next week, the next month, and so on and so forth. So that's how it got back to the table so fast. But I feel like everybody's hearing it and kind of taking a step back and saying, you know what, they're right, and we got to back off on this. So what's coming on Tuesday is a way to move forward. We have to vote on these things in order to bring it to its conclusion. Do we want to ordinance or not for all the roads? Yes or no. If we don't, we have to deal with Highway Z because the county's opened it. So do we vote on opening that and just that, or do we vote on shutting everything down and then we fight with the county on Z and how that's going to play out? So that's all going to happen on Tuesday. So
we'll be talking about the results next time we get together next month. Appreciate the time as always, and the work you're putting into the community, Matt, and thanks a lot for it. I appreciate you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Appreciate you guys, and be sure to subscribe to their page. Everybody, we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within The Morning Show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Dangerous wind chills will continue through Wednesday, with frostbite possible in as little as 10 minutes. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
What's happening is your skin cells are literally freezing and dying. Signs include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. Frostbite can lead to permanent, irreversible damage. So limit your time outdoors, wear a face mask, scarf, gloves, and hat. And if you believe that you do have frostbite, get inside quickly, warm up slowly, and never rub the area, as that can damage the tissue even further.
Representative Todd Novak and Senator Romaine Quinn introduced legislation to permanently fund the Office of School Safety, or OSS. Created in 2018, OSS has become a critical resource for students, teachers, school administrators, and education communities throughout Wisconsin, with the intent to prevent violence in schools. This new proposal ensures that OSS will retain the necessary full-time staffing levels to continue in its success by changing the project positions to permanent positions and funding them through general purpose revenue. This means the office will no longer need to rely on federal grant funding or short-term supplemental funding to operate at its current capacity. The Wisconsin Rapids Common Council will hold their regular monthly meeting on Tuesday with several important items on the agenda. The tabled agenda item of an ATV-UTV ordinance will be brought up for consideration again. From the Legislative Committee meeting on February 4th, the Common Council will also vote on an ordinance to ban the addition of fluoride to the city water supply, changes to Chapter 25 of the Municipal Code dealing with dangerous animals and dog and cat regulations, as well as a referral to increase the term of mayor during the next election cycle. The meeting is at 6 on Tuesday. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Sometimes True Love Isn't Enough News, it appears Kanye West and his soulmate, Bianca Censori, are headed for divorce. The couple has been married a little over 2 years, which isn't too shabby by Hollywood standards. Yahoo Entertainment says things went from bad to worse after the Grammys stunt, where West instructed the love of his life to drop her coat and, quote, make a scene. Censori will receive a one-time payment of $5 million as a settlement. That's some serious scratch and should be enough to get her some new threads. Game of Thrones fans, there is another spinoff from the wildly popular HBO show headed your way. This is the third spinoff from GOT and will focus on the House of Targaryen. Another GOT spinoff, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, will hit the little screen later this year. According to Deadline, the franchise is more likely than not going to roll out several other spinoffs in the coming years. And why wouldn't they? We'll keep watching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Extreme cold warning in effect. Mostly clear and bitter cold tonight. A low of 18 below. Wind chill near 30 below. Mostly sunny and staying cold tomorrow. A high of 5 above. And partly sunny and near 10 above Wednesday. Right now, it's zero.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, February 17, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and I am joined right now today by some amazing people. We get to talk theater in our second segment of the show this week, and we're going to be talking about the Silver Foxes. They have a great radio show coming up I want to get into with some of the cast here. But we also have Executive Director Gretchen Powers in with us right now from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater as we are continuing to celebrate 50 years of WRCT, Gretchen. It feels good, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I say it as much as I can. Every chance I get. Gretchen, I wanted to dive into, if you don't mind, a little bit of the history of Silver Foxes for a second, just to the audience that may not be as familiar with this great organization, this great team as we are.
For sure. So the Silver Foxes actually was started by Joanne Joseph, who actually passed away last year. Great woman with a wonderful legacy behind her. She wanted a way for seniors or people who struggle with maybe memorizing lines or getting up in front of people to kind of reach for their dreams. And so a bunch of real confident ladies with some silver hair decided to start a group called the Silver Foxes, and it's been going strong ever since.
It's such a great name. Mm-hmm. Silver Foxes is such a great name. And I got to say, as somebody, when I was a kid, I realized 7 years old, want to be an actor. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I'm dedicating myself to acting. But as I got older and I see, you know, certain older actors go away and stuff, I'm like, oh, you have to retire or something like that. I remember reading about Anthony Quinn, one of my favorite actors, and he kind of retired from acting because he couldn't memorize lines anymore. And that always seemed like a fear to me. And then Silver Foxes come around. And I hear about this awesome organization and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I never have to stop acting. Oh. I can do this the rest of my life. It is something that we see a lot from a lot of older actors. You know, Paul Newman, Robert Redford, a lot of these guys worked way late into their lives and everything. It's great to be able to do that on a theater level. It's great to be able to see that. And it's so impactful to our community and to especially this community where we have a good senior population.
Yeah. And it's empowering to see. I think it's really cool when they all come together and they pick their scripts and they're all sitting around giggling, and it's like they're having fun. They're having actual fun, and they're going to put on a great show. So it's really fun to see.
Let's talk about that show a little bit. The Silver Foxes Situation Comedy, a radio show coming up this Thursday, February 20th. We'll have a show, a matinee at 2, and then on the 21st, there'll be a 6 o'clock show, and it'll wrap up on the 22nd with another 2 o'clock show. This will all take place at the Lewis Canton Studio Theater. It's going to be a really good one. Can you tell us a little bit about the show, Gretchen?
Yeah, so when we say radio show, now it's not like James's radio shows where you turn on the radio and you sit and listen to it. It's actually a live show with all the actors there in front of you on the stage. But what they do is they read the show, but they use cute voices. So you kind of can't, some of them are in different skits. And so sometimes they'll use a different voice so that they don't sound like the same character in each thing. Or they'll use, they use this little cup thing to make it sound like they're on the phone. So they actually do things to make live sound effects. It's really cool. As well as just the timing of everything. It's all comedy, which is really fun. So they have it broken down into four different skits. One is called audit trouble. One is called Three Gray Hairs. One is Cecil Has a Loose Tooth, which I must say, I have a tooth phobia. And when I was sitting in my office and we could hear him from practicing, all of a sudden I hear Jeff Friday being this little boy with a loose tooth. And I'm just like, no, no. And so the whole skit, I'm like, oh, just pull the tooth, just pull the tooth. Reminded me of my son. Mm-hmm. And the other one is called Friendship. And they're all just really, really cute. And they're led by some really fun actors. So
we're going to meet some of those actors in a moment here. Thank you for that, Gretchen. It's just great. That was good. That was great. You sold that. You sold that. You sold some tickets right there, too. One of the things that I love about this as well is these kind of, especially this one in particular. And I do want to note Chris Williams, the director. Shout out to Chris, who a good friend of ours around here. We love having Chris on the air with us. This is such a throwback to vaudeville and radio, old radio shows of the past that so many people enjoy and love. But there's a lot of younger people that have kind of gone back and go back and listen to like The Shadow and some of those old radio shows. I run into this a lot with a lot of my students where they're going back and listening to and checking out old sketches and old things from those early days. Because if there's any positive to kind of Hollywood and a lot of these things just rehashing the same old and everything, people have gotten tired of that, so they're going back and looking at some of those old things, the Laurel and Hardy and some of those early sketches. So there's been a lot much more popularity to this and a lot more attention brought to this. So something like this is a perfect show for especially this day and age, young or old. I feel like everybody's going to attend this. Everybody that attends this is going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are going to meet some of the cast now. I want to take a moment to get to know them a little bit. And thank you, Gretchen, for all the help. Appreciate the assist. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll kind of and you can say the characters you're playing if you want to. Let's start with you, Tronda.
Hi, I'm Tronda, and I'm playing Susie with Cecil with the loose tooth.
Oh, that's good.
And he's being a baby. He's being kind of scared about it. And so, of course, I'm going, oh, Cecil. So that's me.
That's a great laugh. That's a great laugh, Tronda.
Thank you.
And it's great to have you back. We've had you on before and stuff, and appreciate you being here and appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Don.
Hello, my name is Don. My career started with acting way back about 5 years ago. I was asked by a friend of mine. It took her about 3 years to convince me to give a try at acting. So my first one was Gift of the Magi. Well, after that was finished, I was approached to join in for the Silver Foxes. At first, I thought, no, I'm not ready for that. But I decided to give it a try, and I am so glad I did. We have so much fun. I've been in many different performances, probably a dozen or more by now, and every one of the performances have been fun. You basically turn yourself into a different character, a different person. And it can be challenging at times, but it's always still a lot of fun. I think of all my performances, my favorite one was the Abbott and Costello, mm-hmm. Who's on First. Mm. It was fun acting between Jim and I. We played the Abbott and Costello. And it was so much fun going back and forth with who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know what's on third. So if anybody wants to join Silver Foxes, it is so much fun. We're like a small little family. So please think about it and join us.
Very well said, Don. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And you brought me back a great memory. My papa and I used to do Who's on First, but I would fall apart laughing before we could finish the bit half the time. That's such a great one. And I appreciate the kind of your story, if you don't mind, as well, because one of the things that we do this for, we certainly want to sell some tickets. We want to get a great audience for you guys and everything. But we're also kind of recruiting here. We want more people to be a part of Silver Foxes. So I appreciate that. Yeah, that's very good.
You won't be sorry because it's a lot of fun.
Don, can you tell us a little bit about your character or characters?
Well, one of the characters I play two guys are buddies. We're friends, you know, friends forever. But there are times when we disagree and we separate for a while because we call each other names like nincompoop and you know, idiot and moron and stuff like that. But then we make up and we're best friends forever. Well, it doesn't last long and we're back at each other arguing and It just kind of keeps going back and forth. That's kind of a fun one.
Every guy just nodded their head. Everything, yep, yeah, that's us. Yeah, that's our friendships. Yep, that's pretty good. That's very good. You've kind of understood a little bit more of your guys' characters, and Gretchen gave us a bit of a nice synopsis there with a kind of breakdown of these different shows that we're going to get with this one. How often did you guys get together to rehearse? How often did that happen? Start just down the line here and go down.
We start out every week. And then, of course, we have to do more often, twice a week. This week, we're coming in every day. And, of course, the show is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But we go in today. We go in tomorrow. We have a dress rehearsal Wednesday. And then the plays.
Thank you for that. It's noteworthy, for one. Certainly, we appreciate the time that you guys put into this. Nobody's getting paid to do this. Everybody's doing this out of a passion and love for community and fellowship and theater and all these things. But it's also noteworthy to the audience out there if you're wondering, well, I don't know if I could commit to a Silver Foxes show. I don't know if I have that kind of time. And it's really not that big of a time commitment.
No, not to begin with. And then as we progress and you get more comfortable with your, obviously, your skits and... then again, that whole week, and that's it. But if you're retired, you have something to do.
Yeah. And one of the other things, and you touched on this a little bit too, Don, I think, when it comes to this, I hope that everybody out there listening has got more friends than you know what to do with, and got more things to do than you can know what to do with. But we know that the reality of this, that more and more are, we as a society are getting isolated. And that's especially happening to a lot of our senior population, which we have a very healthy one in this community. And I take any chance I get to talk about these trailblazers and talk about these individuals that made our community, and how much it breaks my heart to think of them sitting alone somewhere, not having something to do or anything like that. Here you go. Here's something right here. You can be a part of this. As Don noted, you come here, you maybe make new friends, maybe make some new connections or something like that, that there is no words for. You can't put that into, I got nothing for that one other than I encourage people to be a part of this and hear the excitement and the energy in their voices and how much they're enjoying this. And give Silver Foxes a chance. Give it a shot. There is no downside to this. There is no negative to this or anything. You're going to go, if you try, if you don't enjoy it, that's okay. That's all right, you know, but you gave it a shot, and there's something to be said for that. Don, your story is one of my favorites in theater. I hear many stories like this of people around your age, and I'm guessing you're in your 30s. You look young, man. You look young. Yeah, but in all seriousness, we know so many people that are in that situation, never given theater a shot, never maybe even thought about it, but they get into it late in life and like, hey, this is all right. This is kind of fun. This is kind of, I can do this. I can have fun. Why is Cary Grant get to have all the fun? I want to be out there. I want to do some stuff and everything. Anybody can do this. That's the beauty of acting. Is there's certainly people that are a little bit better than others or what have you or anything, but anybody can do this. There's a reason that animals have like a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Even animals can do this. It's that much. It's that accessible. And I appreciate you guys sharing your stories about this and the idea of more and more people being a part of it. Do you have any favorite moments of the show without spoiling the show? Can we give any little bit of a tease or anything, or anything that you enjoyed about the process? I'll start with you, Tron.
Well, I enjoy the show because we do laugh when we're doing this ourselves. In fact, we have to stop ourselves from laughing so we can go on with the acting. But I do love the one that Don is talking about. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I love the one I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And, again, like you were saying, we do promote anyone coming in and trying, especially men. We need more men.
Mm-hmm. Don, was there anything that stand out for you as far as this show that you're enjoying?
Well, I enjoy doing different characters because it gives you a chance to be a different part of you. It has to do with the books. Because he's not very good at keeping track of the books.
Okay.
For the accounting and all that sort of stuff. And
yeah.
One of the characters that comes up is I call Mr. Joe Hennessy. And he is, he brought his wife supposedly into a restaurant and he owes money. Well, she comes to find out when he calls and it talks to Mrs. He said, no, that was not me. So he said, uh-oh, that's not a good thing. So when he gets out of the hospital, have him give us a call.
All right. You guys have sold me on this show. This is going to be a really fun one. This is great. Thank you for that, Don. Appreciate it. And appreciate your guys' feedback on this. And certainly want to encourage people to be a part of Silver Foxes and be a part of all of our shows at WRCT. There is room for everybody. We're always looking for more and more good people. You guys have yourselves a good time. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy this run. Have a blast out there. And make it so good that other people want to be out there with you. Enjoy it and everything. Thank you for the time, you two. Appreciate the time from our actors here. And again, want to remind everybody, the Silver Foxes Situation Comedy, a radio show, coming up February 20th at 2, February 21st at 6, and February 22nd at 2. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, especially as we are having fun at WRCT, celebrating 50 years, Gretchen.
50 years.
Which you've been a part of a lot of it.
For more than half, so that just goes to show how old I am.
Recent Director's Playhouse, we were able to have Kathy Miles on and spend some time with her and talking with her about this and how much it means not only to her, but to this community. And as we are celebrating 50 years, the show must go on, of course, and main stage shows are happening. And we are right around the corner from Arsenic and Old Lace, one of my favorite three scripts of all time, favorite plays of all time. Very excited about this one. You get the best seat in the house. You get to be behind the scenes and see, hearing and all this stuff going on and everything. How is it going from your perspective? They ready to go?
I think so. I think that they are ready for an audience. I mean, it's just the start of tech. Like on Saturday, we did a tech rehearsal with our sound and light people, and it went well. They have a set. The set looks gorgeous. You would think that it's a living room. It's actually kind of funny because one of our leads is a realtor, and I'm trying to convince her to do a video of her trying to sell the set.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. I love that.
So we'll see if she does that for me. And it looks really cool. Our lady who paints everything, look, the colors are really awesome. We have a guy who painted the floor to look like wood. It looks great. So,
oh, that's so awesome. Mm-hmm. That's so great. You know, I, as a side note, we've had some amazing individuals our whole lifetimes at WRCT doing and building sets. You and I were God of the Mountain with Dark of the Moon and some of these things. What is going on with our set building in the last, I don't know, 8-10 years or whatever it is? It's a whole other level.
It's like they're trying to win a competition or something.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know who's going to take their place when they're gone, because it just kind of scares me a little bit. So if, you know, they will eventually get up to an age where they'll be like, I don't want to build anymore. So people with their hammers and their saws and their drills, come find me.
Yes, we are always looking for younger people out there to want to be a part of this. And by younger, I mean 20s, 30s, whatever. It doesn't matter. Heck, it could be 40s. You know, we're always just looking for more and more people, whether it's Silver Foxes or it's WRCT shows. Arsenic and Old Lace is premiering February 27th. Get your tickets for that, everybody, at wrctheater.org. We'll certainly be talking about it and building it up, making sure that they have a great cast, a great audience every single night. And then we're already getting close to wrapping up the main stage season.
I know. How did that year go by so fast?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Jinx.
Noises Off is going to be premiering May 1st. We're looking forward to this one. I'm seeing it's directed by Melissa Kay. I'm so sorry. Melissa Kay, who is my co-host and is going to smack me in the head when she hears this. But we are excited about this one, and auditions are March 10th and 11th. Want to encourage everybody to, they got a nice size cast for this one,
too. It's a nice size cast, and I can tell you that it is going to be our most ambitious set we've ever had to build. It's going to be rotating. It's going to have a lot of, it's going to be a big one. So it is going to be awesome to see, and I'm really anxious to watch them pull it off. So
we know that, especially with community theater, you know, you're going to have a good portion of the audience that is friends and family. You're going to have people that just love theater and come every year or every show, whether there's you know, people they know in the audience or not. But I do think that one of the other things that is happening, again, bringing up the set building, is people that I talk to in here, and they show up, and they're, one of the things that they rave about are these sets, to the point of this set and it being the ambitious. I could see there's concern, but I could also see, you know, we got this. Mm-hmm. The set builders we got, I could see why we could even think about this, why the play selection committee would even think about this show now. Well, we got the kind of people that maybe be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
It's a real compliment to not only them, but to the studio, to the theater itself, and what we have built here.
Yeah. I've had some people who are big theater I don't want to say snobs because that's not the right word. But
know what you mean.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh, I don't know how you're going to pull that off. I'm going to come and just watch it so they can see if you actually do it. Well, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I promise
mm-hmm.
you.
And
again, and I love all those theater snobs. I am a theater snob.
So. Right. We really, when it comes down to it, all of us have loved theater, really are. And again, it's a big size cast. So they're going to, you know, any man, woman, young, old, it doesn't matter. Come on down to audition. And keep in mind as well with all of this, if it sounds exciting to you, it sounds interesting to you, but you just want to dip your toe into water or something like that. I think that Gretchen, one of the great ways to do this is being behind the scenes, is maybe even just being a ticket, you know, handing out tickets or something like that. Get to the theater, feel the vibe, feel the energy. You can almost be a fly on the wall in that respect and just kind of seeing how things develop and happen and the way people interact with each other. I really don't say this lightly. I promise you, you're going to want to jump in the water. You get that toe in. You're going to want to go all in. You and I, all of us know people who are similar to Don, where they gave this a chance. Maybe even they just gave this a chance to kind of quiet the people that are telling them to give them a chance. Look, oh, fine, I'll do it. And now they are not. They have a second home. They're not leaving, you know?
Yeah. I have towels for when you jump in. They're not great towels, but they're towels.
They're towels. You know what to do again. And keeping in mind as well, among all these things, that this is it's a fun time. It's a wonderful time. It gets you out of the house. So many things that we need more of in our society. And this is a huge impact in our city's economy. This is a big impact on that. So when you're taking in these shows, the Silver Foxes shows, when you're taking in the main stage shows, you're a part of different events that they host over at the WRCT. You are buying local. You are supporting local. And I will bring this up every chance I get until it changes. I do it with our politicians. I'm going to do it here, too. Wisconsin finished dead last in the union last year when it came to funding the arts. Mm-hmm. Let's change that. Let's adjust that. The arts are a huge part of our economy in any city, in any place. And the more we attend these shows, the more we're helping out our whole state. And you're having some fun while you're at it, too. If you want to find out more, I encourage you to go to wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and share what they do on your pages. You just never know who might see things otherwise. And Gretchen, if people do have follow-up questions to any of this, if they want to get in touch with you specifically, how can they do that?
They can either call me at 715-421-0435 or send me an email, cdwrct@solaris.net.
Tron to Don, break a leg, enjoy yourselves. Thank you so much for the time and taking time out of your lives to entertain our community and everything. Greatly appreciate that. Say hi to the rest of the cast and Chris and everybody for me, please, too. And Gretchen, always good talking with you. Always good hanging out. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great.
Again, find out more information at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
CBS News special report. Aviation officials say all 80 passengers and crew have survived after a Delta Connection flight from Minneapolis flipped over after landing in Toronto. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
It does look like the cabin of the airplane, the passenger area of the plane, remained intact fully when whatever went wrong. And it went wrong with enough force, it appears, to have ripped the wings and the tail off the airplane.
CBS's Lindsay Reiser on what emergency officials are saying.
They confirmed to CBS News 15 patients were transported to the hospital. Two were transported via air ambulance, one to a children's hospital.
Correspondent Chris McReady says weather may have been a factor.
The weather here in Toronto was relatively clear at the time of the crash, but it was quite windy with gusts up to 35 to 40 miles an hour. And since Toronto had just gotten about 2 feet of snow over the weekend, a lot of it has been blowing around, causing low visibility at ground level.
CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape every Sunday.